I'm preaching from 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 4:1 this morning. It's about a lot of things that belong to you. They really are very, very valuable things. And they belong to you because the doors of God's kingdom have been opened to you by His grace and His love. It's a privilege, really. God has blessed you with the most prized and precious things that exist. Not everyone has them. Other Christians do. But the spiritually lost don't have the things that you have. And the big thing about this is that God wants you to realize your blessing with keen, keen awareness. He wants you to dwell on it and treat it with honor. Actually, to appreciate it and respect it more than anything else that you have. And we find the things in this passage. Listen for them as I read, starting in 3:21. Paul wrote, "All things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas," which is the Apostle Peter, "or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come." Again, all things belong to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Prepare your heart for this sermon. How are you treating what belongs to you? Pray with me. Father, I ask that you bless me to bless these people and others with the preaching of your word. I ask that I preach accurately and that by your Spirit it builds us up. This is what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the launching pad in all this flows from one of your blessings that you're honored to have, one of them, and it's God's biblical apostles. The apostles belong to you. Now, typically, we understand that the apostles physically died back in that generation, but they're not dead, which is a sense of reality that you should know and you should really be conscious of. They are not dead. They're still alive in their spiritual existence. And this is really huge. And the thing about this is that God's apostles are His property, but God is not keeping them for Himself. They are His property with you in mind. He saved, He called, and He gifted them to be stewards of His truth for you. Now, back in the days of Corinth, God shared His apostles with the Corinthians. And what applied to them also applies to you. God expected His apostles to be treated with honor, appreciation, and respect as special gifts with vital, necessary teachings that are so important that what's at stake is whether you get things wrong or you get things right concerning Christianity. So when we think of their teachings being preserved, always understand that they were preserved in God's will for you specifically. You need to think of it this way. Their ministry has always been the necessary labor and produce for God's people to have clarity about the details that you need. And it's through their teachings that you experience your apostles, which belong to you. And this is how you get the benefits that are meant to be gotten from them. Now, this realization is more than looking at the Bible as God's word, which it is God's word. But you're experiencing your apostles, men you better honor, appreciate, and respect, men you must thankfully listen to as the special ones enlightened by the Holy Spirit, ordained by God, chosen by God to teach you. And they tell you about more that you have. And one thing that they tell you, very important in all of this, is your identity. You have a new identity because God changed you and gave you new life, making you into a member of the body of Christ. This is beautiful, this terminology and what's happened. And everyone who is a member of the body is all of this. And it all belongs to God. But God has it all exists in such a way as it also belongs to you too. God transferred you into His kingdom, which belongs to Him. Okay, now think of it this way. But the kingdom also belongs to you. And there's so much. That statement from Paul about what you have is something to really, really think about. All things belong to you. Now, personally, as I was reading through this passage, I was struck with the statement. Paul repeated it. All things belong to you. And so maybe you're like me, you know, realizing it's a very big statement. I wanted to know what Paul means. Paul says it twice. All things belong to you. Now, usually when an apostle repeats something like back to back like that, it's because it's very important to recognize and embrace. When I first saw the way that Paul worded this, one of my first reactions was, Maybe Paul's using some kind of poetic exaggeration. But there's no misreading the magnitude that he describes of what you have. Paul gave a comprehensiveness that goes to the extreme. And there's no doubt, he says, it belongs to you. You. But look at how he describes what all is yours. After saying the apostles belong to you, he lists the world, life, even death, things present, things to come, all those things belong to you. That's a lot. Now, there's a unique way of understanding this that helps it make more sense. All these things belong to you because they belong to Christ Jesus. So with you, this is what I'm talking about, identity and who you are and your position and identity. This is what the apostles, God's gifts to you that belong to you, are telling you what else belongs to you. So with you, you are in Christ covenantally and he's in you spiritually, which remember, this makes you a temple of God with the Spirit of God dwelling in you. This is a real thing in our existence. He lives in your new you. So what you have, if you think about this, it's really a sharing relationship. Follow how this is. You're so closely connected with Jesus that what belongs to you, you share with him. I mean, are we really in awe about how amazing this is? We should be. Now, Paul says the world belongs to you. Now, let's think about that. The term Paul used for world, it literally means the expanse of a realm or an area of a particular region. We often refer to the planet Earth as the world. Well, the Earth is big, but this world that Paul's talking about is bigger, and it's even better. This world that belongs to you is everything in respect to the new life in Christ Jesus, the newness of the new. It's all about this unique world, his unique world, and that's very, very important. So think of it this way. There is an old world that does not belong to you because it's different than the new. And God does not want you to have that world. That old world started back with Adam. It's existed. It's messed up. It's sinful. It's separated from God. It's a world of sin, death, disillusionment, lies, deceit, pain, futility, a lot of things that we're experiencing. We have experienced a lot of that. And that old world is still around you. It's enveloping you in its atmosphere. You see and you feel the problems with it everywhere. You and me, all Christians, must pass through it until we leave it to go into a perfect world existence that God has prepared for you in resurrection glory. So that world, that old world, does not belong to you. But once, now this is important, you used to belong to it. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says that when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, that spiritual death, you used to walk according to the course of that world. That was the only way you walked. And it says you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the children of disobedience. Well, that's because all things that are spiritually lost belong to that spirit. Now think about that. You know, the Bible has a lot of teaching about demon possession. Possession means what the demon possesses, the demon owns. But there's a more universal understanding. For all who are spiritually dead, there actually is an evil spirit working in every single one of them, owning them. And so this gives more realization to you that when you know that you are a temple of God with the Spirit of God dwelling in you, it's amazing. The privilege that belongs to you is that God's Spirit is now, as the Bible tells you, is right now at work in you to will and work for his own good pleasure. But it says there in Ephesians that you used to be spiritually dead once too. And you also belonged to that old world. You used to walk according to the course of that world, according to that spirit which is now, but was also, it's at work in the world, but it was at once at work in you as a child of disobedience. And it says you used to live deceived in the desires of sin, indulging the sinful desires of the flesh and of the mind. The old world owned you, and it kept you as its slave. Galatians 4, 3 through 8 says you were held in bondage and slavery under the things of the world. But God put his spirit of his son into your heart. And it says you are no longer a slave to the world. It does not own you anymore. It cannot demand obedience from you anymore. It cannot control you anymore. And it says You're now a child of God. And as a child of God, you are an inheritor through and with Jesus, who is the firstborn inheritor. This is the relationship that I'm talking about. This is what we're looking at. All things are yours because you are an inheritor in Christ, the firstborn heir. Romans 8, 16 through 17 says, the Spirit himself testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God and an inheritor, it says. It says a fellow inheritor with Christ. You see the connection? You see how things belong to you? In spiritual salvation, you died to the old world of sin, so it died to you too. And you inherit the redeemed world, which belongs to you. And you are sharing in Jesus' own inheritance. And so I'm preaching on this question. How are you treating what belongs to you? Are you treating it each day as someone God delivered out of the sinful world to be his child and citizen of his heavenly kingdom? I mean, we don't always do everything perfectly. But are we asking? Are we seeking? Are we looking? Checking by the Spirit? How are you sharing your inheritance that you have in the King? Well, consider this. You are supposed to be ruling with him as you serve him. Now, when you think of resurrected Jesus, do you think of him as the Scriptures describe him, seated at the right hand of the Father? I mean, right here, right now, is that how you think of Jesus, the way the Scriptures describe? And here right now, do you think of yourself as Colossians 1:27 says, that Christ is in you as your hope of glory? And by the way, those are not trick questions. They really are how to think. It's how to think. Because it's scriptural. But right here, right now, are you thinking of yourself with Christ in you? Now listen, as you being seated there in heaven with him right now at the same time. You should, because this belongs to you. Ephesians 2, 5 through 7, it says that when you were dead in your transgressions, in that old world that you will not inherit, that God made you alive together with Christ, saving you by grace through faith. And then it says, God raised you up with Christ Jesus, and listen to this, he seated you with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you know what you have? You are an inheritor in him, seated on the same ruling throne in him. 2 Timothy 2:12 explains that as you endure the world, you reign with Christ. See, this reality is so profound that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says that you will even judge angels. And so you rule with him as you serve him by his Spirit, manifesting his life. And so the apostle that belongs to you tells you all this. You may not feel like you're seated on the heavenly throne in Christ, but it's like being a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, you may not feel like he dwells in you, but he does. And the visual language is explaining how you reign with him by being in him. Because it's real, it's true. And all these things are showing you how the world of Christ belongs to you. And what belongs to you now, you're going to experience in its flawlessness someday. God wants you to look forward to it. When Romans 8 explained that you're an inheritor as a fellow inheritor with Christ, it tells you that you're waiting for that future glory to be revealed to you. It's going to be so good. And it also says that creation is also waiting for it. Once subjected to futility, it says creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption, because that's what we see going on all around the old world. And it will be set free into the freedom of the glory of you in your glory that we will ultimately have in perfection. And when that comes, it all belongs to you. So what you wait for in faith, you'll get in its perfection. Now, in the meantime, you've been called to use all that's been given you to glorify God, treating it with reverence, treating what you share. It belongs to you, but you share it with the Lord, right? God has ordained for you to shine his light everywhere you go. He's gifted you for bigger purposes than to spend it all on yourself. And he's gifted you to be his testimony of all of it. So think of God delivering you, empowering you, and ordaining you to use all things, everything, to glorify him. But there's something else. In Paul's shortlist explanation, you are told that life belongs to you. And again, This has to do with Christ Jesus' life. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, the life. He said he came that you may have life and have it abundantly. The greatest aspect of your inheritance in him is life, his life, everlasting life. As a child of God, you actually understand life, by the way, more than the unsaved do. Think of that most famous passage in Scripture, John 3:16. It's become very famous. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said in Matthew 19 that everlasting life is the inheritance from God which replaces any inheritance the world understands. And it's part of your inheritance. How are you treating this life? You should be treating it with honor, appreciation, and respect. You should be seeking ways to manifest the newness of your new life, the life of Christ Jesus, to others. But on the heels of that, Paul also said something that might seem odd. Death belongs to you. Kind of sounds out of place. I mean, you get all this life in Christ that you can imagine, you get the privilege to live, and just knowing it should keep you in this amazing gratefulness to God. But then you're told the opposite. Death, which is not a very happy subject usually, death belongs to you. Well, it's another thing that has to do with being an understanding in respect to Christ Jesus. Outside of Jesus, death owns all of humanity. But with Christ, there is a transfer of ownership. See, he owns death. And Christ used death, death of his physical body, to make the greatest business deal of all eternity. He used death as a tool to secure your everlasting life. His death was the ultimate payment for your sins. And so that's how, when you became spiritually saved by faith, the old spiritually dead you was made doubly dead. Or think of it this way. You were spiritually dead. And in that death, the old you had to be crucified by the Lord. It had to be crucified to die to that existence of spiritual death. That's doubly dead, to bring the life. Galatians 2:20 says, you have been crucified with Christ, made dead with Christ. It's no longer you who live, but Christ lives in you now. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself up for you. But there's more. More death belonging to you. Physical dying belongs to you because physical death is not a gloomy curse for you like it is for the perishing in their sins. Physical death belongs to you as your releaser. Please take comfort in this, freeing you to finally get to what's better. It releases you into that promised land of perfection that belongs to you. This is why you never find the Bible saying anything like, to live is Christ and to die is loss. No, Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. You want death to belong to you because it's gain. So always think about how this change turns the old relationship on its head. You don't belong to death anymore. Death belongs to you. You're no longer in bondage to sin and death. You are freed from sin with the new life that belongs to you. Now, when you think of Ephesians 1:20 telling you that God made you alive together with Christ Jesus and he raised you up with him and he seated you with him in the heavenly places in him, also think about what Ephesians says in 2:6. It says that God did this so that in the ages to come, which is eternity, he will display the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward you, you specifically, in Christ Jesus. Always think of yourself in this. So death releases you to be an everlasting demonstration of God's love, mercy, and grace forever and ever and ever. It's happening with you now. It's going to happen ever in your glorification. And so death releases you to go be God's treasure trophy display of perfection that's coming, right? Going to be shining his kindness toward you through your existence. It's going to be worship of Christ forever and ever. Just your existence. Being your presence will be worship of Christ who got you there. See how it works? Death is not usually a happy experience. Sometimes it's preceded by horrifying events. I mean, it is the curse of Adam. But always remember that for you, Jesus, the last Adam, he owns it to belong to you too. And so for you to die is for you to be released to ultimate blessing. Always keep that in mind. Treat it with honor, appreciation, and respect. But hold on. Look at what else is yours. Paul says that things present belong to you. Contextually, the things present for the Corinthians encompassed everything that God was doing in their generation. God established the church there. He's growing. The Christians in the world at that time, the community of Christ is his people, included all the ministers, all the revelation from them, even all the persecution the Christians went through. And of course, all the triumphs. It included all the things which ushered in the new covenant age to replace the old. All the things present, the things right now in God's plan, belong to you in the same way. All the things God is doing in your generation belong to you. Now think about this. All the prophetic fulfillment that's going on, you are actually experiencing. All the pain and suffering that you go through in the present is tough, but it's exactly the same way. All the blessings of the present, everything, it all belongs to you. While you live in the present, treat it with honor, appreciation, and respect as you also reign with Christ Jesus. And in the meantime, you should have both eyes open. One eye is looking at the present, which belongs to you. The other is looking into the spiritual telescope of eternity, which also belongs to you. Romans 8, 28 through 32 says, God did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for you, so that with his son, he will freely give you all things. All things. This is the future perfection. So always be looking to that future of what's stored up for you in heaven. It's for you. It's not some type of thing that you're trying to earn. It's already there. The heir already has the inheritance. It wasn't earned. It's just what you get. In the future, you will get all the grace gifts of your everlasting life and resurrected glory. Everything you inherit with Christ forever. You're sharing with him, the firstborn heir. He's the one. A lot of great things awaiting you in the next stages of your existence. You have a whole lot of never-ending happiness. What are we going to do with ourselves, right? Non-stop fun. Perpetual beauty in store. We'll be living worship as we also worship willfully our Lord. You'll have pure, continuous contentment. It'll be so way beyond anything we experience now. There'll be no more fear, no more anxiousness, doubt, sadness. Aren't you tired of being sad? No more hate. No more mistakes, confusion. Anything of the horrible things of this previous life on earth. So as you look with spiritual eyes to see those things which belong to you, take it as comfort while here in these moments. Look to what belongs to you like you believe that it does. See? Rest in the comfort of it as your faith that nonstop rest is going to come someday. And it's going to be forever. You only have a few moments left in this part of this whole drama that we're going through. There'll be no more weeping for you in the future. Every one of our tears are going to be wiped away. No more regrets. None. And all of that is yours. Live like you are completely assured of it. Like what belongs to you right now, you'll never lose. You cannot lose. And it just gets better and better and better. Okay, live like a child at Christmas time. Like you're eagerly waiting, you know, not regretting, but eagerly expecting to unwrap all that belongs to you at the arrival celebration. Because that's what it is. It's a release. This is how to understand what all belongs to you. This is how to understand your responsibility to treat it with honor and appreciation and respect. This gets me to the last thing that Paul punctuates his statement with. And he says, you belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. You belong to Christ. Christ Jesus is your Savior. He's also your life. But he's both of those things because he's your owner. And when he purchased you out of sin and death in his work on the cross, he did more than free you. He gained ownership of you. And so you have his stamp on you, paid in full. Well, that means you're fully his. And with that, you have another stamp on you, property of Jesus. And so, yes, you get all the blessing of all the things that belong to you because of what he did, but keep in mind that Jesus purchased you for himself to be a blessing to himself. That's what you are. You are saved to be his gift to himself. He's the one who gets the blessing he did everything to get. And as you enjoy your blessing, thank God that you're experiencing something that was done primarily for Jesus. Be grateful that you have been given the privilege to get blessed because God wanted to bless himself. This is why we have salvation. Scripture says God saved you for his own good pleasure. And so because you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God, you, me, all Christians, we're privileged to experience some of the pleasure that God experiences in saving you, saving us, for his own good pleasure. So the question of the sermon theme is this: how are you treating what belongs to you? Ultimately, it's how you're treating what belongs to Jesus. You, me, every Christian, we have a stewardship as Christ's people meant to bless him. Seek to be a good steward of all these things. Seek to bless him in all you do with honor, appreciation, and respect, gratefulness. Amen.